Welcome to Everyday Therapy, where simple and practical concepts of therapy meet your everyday life. Hosted by licensed marriage and family therapists Brett Cushing and Krista Overson, we're here to help you unlock tools and strategies you need to become the best version of yourself. Whether you're looking for guidance, inspiration, anecdotes, or actionable advice, you're in the right place. Let's dive into Everyday Therapy.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyday Therapy. I am Dr. Karen Ryan and I am here with Brett Cushing, licensed marriage and family therapist. And we are talking today about how much do I parent my teen in 2025? What is the right amount of parenting?
Such a practical question. It really is. I have a friend of mine. He has been an administrator in education for 40 years and he said, very well, he said, I think that we are protecting them where they don't need to be protected, and we're not protecting them enough where they do need protection. Yes. And I thought, wow, that seems to be right on.
Yeah, and so we thought it'd be helpful to talk through kind of what are the areas where we do want to lean in and parent more, and where do we give space for trial and error and letting them figure it out? Because that's hard as parents, right? We want to do right by our kids, and sometimes it can be hard to know what does that actually look like. Mm-hmm. Right? Especially in 2025 here.
And I'm confident for those listening, the takeaways are going to be very easy to understand, maybe hard to do, but
yeah.
I can pretty much guarantee if we do these as parents, it will have a positive effect.
Yep. So. And that these are just really helpful things to have on top of mind, right? Because mm-hmm. it can be hard to know what to do. So we hope these are top of mind then for us all.
Right.
Yes.
So maybe one thing to consider. And at the outset, I like to ask parents of teens, what's your goal for parenting your teen? Or even like if you have younger kids, what's the goal? What's the end goal? And a lot of times parents don't know. They haven't really thought about that. We just shoot from the hip based on what we learned growing up.
And, yep. or what we most recently read. Yeah.
Right. And so we don't really know what the goal is. And I heard this many years ago and tried to make this my goal. And if we can make this a goal, I think it's helpful to ensure that our kids are going to be successful no matter where they are. And that is the goal for them to be able to say no to their impulses and their desires and be able to say yes to other people's needs. Now, it doesn't mean they completely nullify themselves, mm-hmm. but being able to say no to destructive urges or a self-centered existence and being able to say yes to other people. And I'm just offering that free of charge here. And
right off the bat.
Uh-huh. And if nothing else, consider what is my goal.
Yeah.
And know yes. that, okay, we have to work towards that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that can help guide your interactions and those daily choices that you make as you are parenting your teen, right? And one of the things I think of first is, our kids spend a lot of time with us, right? And they are really impacted by what happens in the home, right? That their parents and their guardians are their role models for how to live in this world, mm-hmm. right? And that doesn't mean we expect ourselves to be perfect. We aren't. There are no perfect humans, right? And it's really doing the best we can, mm-hmm. right? And then I think one piece of advice is to really then intentionally model certain things for your kids.
Yes.
Right? Like they are learning from us.
Yes. What do we mean by modeling? I mean, is it more than just saying please and thank you to mm-hmm. the person that's the cashier? What are we talking about, Karen?
Right. Right. And I think it's really modeling, you know, if we think about the phrase be kind, you're like be a good human. What does that mean? Right. And so it is modeling and helping them with social skills, those soft skills that they don't get anywhere else. Like, yeah, they might get it kind of in school, mm-hmm. but that piece of this really does lie in our hands as the parents, as the guardians that are spending time with our teen. So that's encouraging them to look the person in the eye with the caveat. We understand with certain neurodivergence and certain things that might be a challenge.
Sure.
Right. So please, all advice that we're giving today, please apply it to your children and your teen based on kind of where they're at, please, with that kind of here at the onset. But modeling for them, put down your phone while you're ordering, right? Those social skills. How do you greet somebody when you see them, right?
Look them in the eye.
Look them in the eye, right. Yeah.
Yes.
And really then modeling for them healthy behaviors and helping them.
Yes, just understand the why even behind that behavior, because sometimes – well, why do I have to look them in the eye? Or why do we do this? Because they're so accustomed to a digital world where none of that is even relevant.
Right.
So it can be a leap as to, why do I have to do this? Yes. And, well, I'm looking the person in the eye because they trust me better if I can look them in the eye. And if I'm not on my phone and I'm actually even looking in their direction, it shows and communicates their importance.
Right, that I respect them.
Yeah. So it's not even just the modeling, but it's reinforcing that with the why. And sometimes you can model, well, what do you think if I'm just on my phone and you're trying to talk to me about something really important at school?
Yes.
So I think really highlighting that why.
Why? And how do we talk about other people? Do we tease people? Do we make fun of people? Do we make negative critical comments, you know, about others? Then our teen learns that. And then really importantly, do we make those negative comments about ourselves? Right? As a woman, like, and any gender can experience this, but body image and the ideas about how to fit in and how do you feel about your body, the words that you say at the dinner table or about weight or about dieting or about how to look or comments about hair or anything really have a huge impact. And so you are a model for that. Like, what is the foundation you want to lay? And so I invite you to like bite your tongue, right? Yes. I have to bite my tongue at times and be like, that is not helpful. I don't want to think that way. And I absolutely don't want my teen to think that way either.
I kind of grimaced when you said that because some of those areas I did not do a very good job. But that also speaks to another area of modeling too. When we do blow it, take responsibility. So if I say, oh yeah, I'm not losing weight. I can't, you know, stand, I'm just so overweight or whatever. Then be able to go back and say, you know what? I am not doing a good job in my own self-talk.
Yeah.
And I got to work on that. Mm-hmm. Or when we've done something, maybe we've overreacted with our kids.
Yeah.
Come down too hard on them, expect too much, to go back and say, you know what? I really blew it. I didn't expect, or I did expect too much out of you. And I was being insensitive. I was focused on other things. Yes. I'm really sorry and hope you can forgive me for that.
Yes. And what you're modeling there is the ability to take accountability.
Yeah.
To apologize, to have a second chance to get it better.
Yes.
Right? And so that's there. But also the key piece of repairing with your teen, which we know, like when we have a healthy, strong connection with them, that is the foundation of being able to help navigate hard things. And so really that's being able to...
I love that.
Yes, just like apologize and repair. And then it is amazing how effective that is.
It is.
So I will walk back and be like, I am so sorry. My tone, I came in hot. I'm going to try it again. And my daughters will let me, right?
Yeah,
sometimes they'll be like, geez, mom. And I'm like, yep, you're right. I was thinking about this and I was already stressed about that. And I just took that out on you. I'm sorry. Can we do this? And then they're like, yeah. And so it really is that ability to repair, but it takes that accountability and being willing to do that, but
and
worth
a couple
it.
Of things with that too, I think, is that kids just want any excuse to be able to forgive their parents. But I think parents sometimes we're so worried about failing our kids. Mm-hmm. We don't want them to see any chinks in our armor.
Yeah.
And then we inadvertently communicate perfection.
Yes.
And that raises anxiety that they have to be perfect. But then we get upset that they don't take responsibility, but we haven't modeled it either. And so another thought I had too is that, like what you said about repairing the relationship too, because when I do marital therapy and I ask couples, so, all right, you guys had a blow up, you disconnected. How did you reconnect again? 90% of the time, people have no idea what I mean by that. And they say, well, we're just over it.
Yeah.
And so these are skills that help them in all sorts of relationships if we can model this well and be intentional about it.
Yes. And I'm coming to mind a recent interaction that one of my daughters had with a friend where they felt bad because they kind of hurt this friend's feeling and they had responded kind of like angrily and were not talking to them. And the feedback was, I modeled for her, what would you like to say to her? What would be helpful to hear from her? What might you say to her?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so really helping our kids find that language of what does that look like? And so here's the, like, how much do I parent? Helicopter parenting, which we all want to avoid, is like doing it for them. All right. Then I would text that mom or I would do this or try to repair. Right. But the goal was to help my daughter have those skills to be able to say to that friend, I'm really sorry I said that. I actually really think you're a great person and I'm so glad we're becoming better friends. And modeling that. I think we can draw a parallel too then to these sort of conversations with teachers and with coaches
right.
and with other adults. So the drive might be as a parent to like want to call that coach if your teen comes in and says they're upset about something. You might want to do that for them.
Right.
Helping your teen to know, how can I do that effectively? So that is where it's this middle of the path. You can be that bridge to help them find that language and do that on their own.
Because one of the goals that I think ought to apply for us as parents is we're preparing them for the adult world.
Yes, we don't want them to live with us forever.
Right. And I think what's happening is we tend to isolate teens and adolescents in our culture and make them a subculture rather than continually reintroduce them to that adult world that they want to avoid.
Yes.
Because I'm scared. I don't know what to say. And so you might want to ask yourself, am I really preparing them for the adult world by introducing them to the adult world? And then asking yourself, am I doing something now that they can do themselves?
Yeah.
And if you are, then let them do it.
Yeah.
And encourage them along the way and know that this isn't a moral issue. This is just skill building.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That we all have to develop. Like, that is what we all deserve. And it's just this natural part of life. Yeah. And really, it empowers them too to be like, affirm that they can do that. And they've got your back, right? You've got their back, excuse me. So they know that I'm taking this risk to do this, but I've got my parent support behind me. So if anything doesn't go well or I need extra support, it's there. Yeah.
Yes. So be shower them with a lot of positivity here.
Yes.
And maybe, you know, good ratio 7-1, you know, of positivity to change. You need to do this better.
Yes.
So we're talking like training and coaching here too. Before we move on, any other thoughts of what you do or parents need to be thinking about when they're coaching, when they're training their I was going to say kiddos. Sorry, teens, these young adults.
Yeah, just in general, you mean, of like what is helpful to remind them?
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I think of is teens in some ways are so effective in taking care of themselves. Like the ability of what they can navigate, like the social world that they can navigate, like how they just like know the right socks to wear, or they know like they have all of these, like all of this wisdom that sometimes is totally beyond me, right? Mm-hmm. And some of the terms, I'm like, I don't even know what that means, right? 6-7, right? Whatever. But then there's also this piece of, they also are still children, right? They are not 18 yet. They are, teens and adolescents are 12 to 17. And so they, as their brains are still developing, their hormones are surging, and they're going through all these physiological and social and emotional changes, they still need reminders. This is where I invite you to parent more of, they need reminders to eat a good meal. They need reminders to drink water. They need your guidance on how many caffeinated beverages they should have, right? This is your job to know how many rock stars are they drinking, how many monsters, and having those conversations. So this is where it goes from like you monitoring them and writing out what they're eating each day and packing their lunch to you're aware of it, you're having conversations, and you're talking about, how much caffeine are you drinking? Do you know how to check milligrams? Do you know the risks of that? Do you know about gummies? Do you know about like taking candy from others? Are you aware of like the concerns about vaping? Do you know how much sleep you need? Right. So this is where, again, I invite parents to take that active role in being aware of what time your child goes to bed. I know it can be really hard when they have homework and they have activities till late and then they're doing homework, but I will not go to bed until I know my teen has wrapped up and is heading to bed. Right. I know when they are off their phone or not. We know that cell phones are addictive. We know that it can be really hard for all of us to do that. And this is where you can be that parent to say, I need you to set your phone down and go focus on your homework for a little bit, right? Or I like having a rule of our phones in the bedroom at night, or having a downtime. That's where we can help them with that, because they can't control it.
Right.
Their frontal cortex will not let them. It's hard enough for me at 44, right? So I'm going to help out my 12 and 14 year old and just take that phone away at times, or have a shutdown in a very loving, collaborative way, so they understand why. But those are some of those key things of like helping your teen get in good habits with those basic daily life skills that we got to teach them.
And they don't know the boundaries for some of those.
They don't.
And that's one thing I'm hearing as you're sharing, is they don't know the boundaries. How much is too much? How much is too little? And that might be another way of thinking about it, is just trying to help them understand the boundaries and kind of reel it in. And because they can be very all or nothing in their thinking.
Yes.
And so we're trying to help them understand it's a both and. I think also along those lines is parents, sometimes we don't even know. So if you don't know like social skills that I ought to be teaching, look it up. Or you could look up, you know, social skills. You could look up independent living skills. There's whole curriculums built on that, which might be really helpful as a checklist. And do it with them. Say, hey, what do you think you're good at? What do you think you need to work at? And make it collaborative.
Yes.
And then work on it together.
Yeah. And what you're modeling there, again, is that idea as a parent, like, I don't have it all figured out. I only know what I know and what I've been exposed to. And so really removing any of those what I should, those shoulds, and be like, let's figure this out together. With the reminder of like, therapists are here, we're here too to help you figure that out too. So there's always support, is it through a therapy for your, with your teen as a family, or even as a parent, like, how do I help my child navigate through this? Right. So with those parenting,
let's think about that in terms of like those big vulnerability areas in terms of social media, porn, video games, substance usage, how to have a healthy relationship. How do we parent them in some of these areas? Because they don't know the boundaries. They might even be completely naive to some of this. How do we parent in these areas without over-parenting or under-parenting? So I'll just say this. One thought is, because a lot of this is determined by peer pressure. And so here's kind of a principle that I think can be really helpful. As your family identity is high, peer pressure will be low. And as your sense of family identity is low, peer pressure will be high. So what do I mean by family identity? I mean, when you have those traditions and you have family time and you continually meet together and do fun things as a family and have your traditions and you're having positive experiences, that's all family identity. And as that is high, peer pressure will be low.
Yeah. Brett, I'm curious, what would you define as family time?
Yes.
Or quality
so
family
glad
time.
You mentioned it.
Because I think it's simpler than most people are going to think.
It is. And so we're going to lose some of our audience because I'm going to say what one of them is. And that's this Sunday. We watch the Green Bay Packers. For decades, generations, the family gets together. And not everybody's watching the game, but we are together. And we're laughing and we're eating together. Mm-hmm. And so I think just having dinner together. Having little activities like that that you do together. It can be even just driving in the car, but not listening to music or something, but just ask your kids questions and just listen and engage with them. It can be, my daughter would sneak out of bed. She told us when we're older. She would sneak out of bed, sneak behind the couch, and just listen to mom and dad watch Everybody Loves Raymond and laugh. And she just loved to listen to us laugh at
me. Oh, my gosh.
And
that's
that
wonderful.
Was,
yes.
That was part of it. So it is pretty simple. It's very cost effective.
Yeah. And I think it's that highlighting, it's those 10 to 15 minutes. Yes. Our trips to Mexico, wonderful. Yes. Those big days that you spend all together on a day excursion, great. But it is really those day-to-day interactions that build that connection and community. And that's what we're talking about.
I get to share this story.
Yeah, please.
As you know, my mom just had a stroke.
Yes.
And so I was visiting her, you know, and just she and I at the hospital. Nothing good on hospital TV, you know, except old reruns. And so we're sitting there together and MASH was on, the old TV show MASH.
Yes.
And I said, Mom, it's like 10:30 on a school night. You and I would watch MASH at 10:30 after local news. And I said, all we're missing now is Captain Crunch. And it just took me right back.
Right
that
back.
That was family identity that she and I would share together all the time.
Yeah. What a special memory. Mm-hmm. You know, thank you for sharing. And it's those simple things, but have a huge impact on us.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're talking about vulnerabilities. And one of the other things that we can do well as a parent is just try to remove some pretty significant risk factors in our teens' environment. And what I mean by that is really thinking about, do you have any firearms? Do you have any guns at home? And if so, are they locked up? Is anybody on any prescription meds that are more likely to be abused by teens? Are those locked up? Do you have an awareness of how many you have? How do you have alcohol around in your house, right? If your family uses any cannabis, like how is that displayed? How is that stored? Where is that?
Right.
And that piece of taking those steps to keep your kids as safe as possible. And then that's a key piece. And then when you were saying like, what do we, I can't remember your first question, but it was something about like, what does that mean? Or how do we address that? Like, because you're asking about porn and addiction and those sort of things.
Yes.
And what came to mind for me was open the door by talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Say the words, right? Say the words porn, say the words nude, say the word like selfies, say those words, yeah. Talk about suicide, talk about mental health, talk about bullying, talk about peer pressure. And again, do not give them a lecture. Do like that would be my recommendation. But it's really like when you toss out those one or two things. So, right, like last year as I was driving to the football game, was talking about like there might be substances there. People might be drinking. Mm-hmm. There might be gummies. There might be candies. Are you aware that there might be like certain THC or drugs in gummies? Okay. So we're not at a point where you're ready to do that. So please don't take candy from anybody, mm-hmm. right? Conversations about those things. So it's one or two sentences that can really have a positive impact.
I like that because you're being preventative, you're normalizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times it does come across as a lecture. Mm-hmm. Now remember,
yep.
People are going to be doing this. So don't do that. That's not good. And it communicates, I think, inadvertently, I don't trust you enough.
Yeah.
Instead of like what you're saying is, you got this. Mm-hmm. I trust you.
Yep.
This is what's going to happen.
Yep.
And there's no shame in that either. No sense of trying to control them.
Yep. And that key language of when this happens or if this happens, I'm here for you. We'll figure it out together. Right. So as like parties are I'm entering high school and party territory and those sort of things. Having conversations about like, I'm here for you. So if you get somewhere that doesn't feel safe mm-hmm. or feels off and you want me to come get you, we have a code phrase that gets text or called to me. I'm coming in a minute. I'm not going to be mad. Whatever situation you find yourself in, I'm not going to be mad. I'm going to come help you and we're going to figure it out together.
There you are. We.
We. Language. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we've provided some things that are very tangible and we really want to empower you because as parents, it can feel just incredibly overwhelming.
Yes.
And where do I begin? I don't know what to do. So we hope that you have some things that are very easy to understand. They can be hard to implement. That's okay.
Yes.
Go see a therapist yourself. Get some encouragement. Get some reminders.
Yep.
Listen to this podcast.
And remind yourself you don't have to nail it the first time, right? Yep. Like that ability to come back and apologize and keep refining your skills to refine their skills. Like that's the power of authenticity and figuring it out.
Yeah, you're doing great,
yep.
And you're still learning and growing just like every one of us. So
100%.
Part of that was being here today. We're so glad you were, and we look
forward thank you.
To meeting next time.
Absolutely. Bye, all.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Everyday Therapy. We hope you're inspired to apply today's insights to your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. It helps others discover the show and join our community. See you next session. Everyday Therapy is a production of Nystrom & Associates, one of the largest behavioral health organizations in the country. To learn more, visit Nystrom, counseling.com.